Busy hour for you on the drive coming up at 7:17, four down territory, 7:30. We got fact or alternate facts. It's like fact or fiction, but we're having some fun there as well. Sean Salisbury at 8:05. We'll get to the Kings in just a second. In the meantime, breaking news. Bam. Oh, boy. Jim Tomsula. What is he doing right now? What school is he a custodian at? Well, the answer is finally here, kids, as Jim Tomsula is the new defensive line coach for your Washington Redskins, all everybody. Right. Atta, babe. You
Jimmy.
Know, I'm rooting for him. Stop that. I'm rooting for him.
Who isn't?
I mean, he got yorked and balkied all over the place, right in the face. I say go for it, Jim. Jim, turn the make the Redskins great again. Okay, just turn them into the defensive juggernaut we all know they can be.
I love it. Just imagine him palling around with Dan Snyder. Perfect.
You
know, this is Clue Haywood on Twitter. He says, Jim Tomsula's resume proves there's more than one way to skin a cat, Dave. He lists 14 ways, some with crude diagrams.
Yes, and shout out to Clue Haywood, the Major League reference. He's got more nose hair than a party favor. No real way to segue over here, so let's just play this for you. Now, I say this, and if you've listened to 30 seconds of the show, you know that if there's one thing Katie and you and I all agree on, it's that we have just everlasting love, respect, and affection for Gary Gerald. So I say this with all the respect in the world for the legendary Gary Gerald, but I am like 30% worried that at some point this season, he's just going to lose his mind.
He's
going to
walk off.
Like, I hope that's what he would do. What I'm afraid is that he's just going to go Bob Uecker in Major League, speaking of, and just let 70 F-bombs go. Just start slamming stuff around. Chuck a bottle of Coca-Cola on the floor. He's just you heard his voice crack. He was so beside himself at that call, and the Kings go on to lose 102-99. Nate, we talked before the show. Here are the facts. Fact: it was a bad call. The last 2 minute report proved that, and not that we needed that. Fact: odds are, had that call not been made, it's very likely, in fact, more likely than not, that the Kings would have simply gone to overtime. It was tied at 99 at that point. And Dwayne Wade made one of two free throws in that scenario, which is what gave him the lead, and then a foul. And, you know. And also, fact, it's very likely they would have lost in overtime. That game did not – it was not a guarantee the Kings would have won if that call wasn't made, I guess
No.
is what I'm saying. But it still sucks.
It does. And it's – you know, there are things that – Well, first off, I've been expecting G-Man to have that meltdown you described for like four years.
Yeah,
like you
you're
can
right.
hear it near the end of every season, there's just these more and more dejected.
Yes.
And I mean, cheers to him for being able to fight through that. But, you know, like sometimes you watch a particular game, right? And it's like the Kings are so not at the talent level of some other teams that their margin for error is so slim, right? And you'd see them like, say, fall behind early. And then maybe like they put together a run. Maybe let's say they're down like 17. They put together a run to get it to 12. And then there's like a bogus foul call or something like that. And it kills the momentum. Or, you know, things like that where things go bad enough as it is. And then when they finally start to get things right, it's like they can't even get a break from the gods.
Nope.
You know,
nope.
I don't suspect any malice from the officials. I just think they straight up blew a call, and it happened at the worst possible time to the Kings again.
I was getting I'm with you.
You just get kicked over and over.
I was getting in trouble for saying this, but with the exception of the Seattle thing, I think it's rang true pretty much for the last 10 years. God hates Kings fans. I really do believe that. I think God hates Kings fans, and people say, well, it's not God. You know, whatever. But shut up. But I think there's something to the idea. As my computer went off there, that's what I was telling to shut up, not Nate. I don't know if it's because Arco Arena was built on an Indian burial ground, which is which things are so bad here that has almost become an urban legend in this town that there's something
there
going
has to
on.
Be something.
There's some form of curse, be it in our draft picks, our trades, our whatever the hell it is. And after the game, I'll try my computer again now. Here we go. After the game, now I expected, and I think you expected, everybody did, DeMarcus Cousins to get fined about $100 billion for whatever the hell he was going to say to the refs. He was yelling at him on the way off the floor. He doesn't have the nicest relationship with them anyways. There is pictures tweeted out from Chicago Press of a garbage can, and they called it the carnage after the game. Apparently, DeMarcus went after a waste basket, a plastic waste basket. Here's what he said after the game about the referees.
I can't blame him.
I don't want to speak out of school. I feel like he was being sarcastic there, though.
Maybe.
A little bit. So that happened. And then just to kind of wrap this all up in a tidy little bow for you, Nate, according to people that travel with the team, the team was leaving the hotel to get on the bus. And outside the hotel, you had these little kids in Chicago that were selling chocolate bars right outside the hotel trying to earn money for charity or whatever it is little kids sell chocolate bars for. People walk by, you kind of, you know, it's like when the Girl Scouts accost you outside a supermarket or whatever. But DeMarcus Cousins not only stopped, but he pulled out a little bit of money and he purchased all the boxes they had to sell.
Say, like, you got to buy all of them,
he
right?
He bought every piece of candy these kids had and kept it with him. Later in the day, he took the candy and he gave it to the flight service staff for use on the flight to Detroit. This is after getting screwed in Chicago. And, yeah, I mean, whatever.
Hey, the best revenge is living well.
You know? Am I right? Yeah, and he did. And so did the flight crew, by the way. They hopped up on chocolate.
Like, I love the idea to get back to, like, the conspiracy thing, kind of. I love the idea that there is some sort of weird thing, like an Indian burial ground or something like that. But, you know, like, what do they say? Isn't it – I'm gonna botch this saying, but that, like, good luck – like. Good luck isn't something that really exists. It's when hard work and preparation meet opportunity. Right?
Yes.
That's the type of crap football
coaches always say. Yogi Berra used to say, the more you practice, the better your luck or something like that.
Exactly. Luckier and so whatever the opposite of that is, I think that's just what the Kings are going through. whatever it is, like, you kind of create your own fortune in a lot of ways. And the results speak for themselves, right?
I think Katie's on hold. If you're just joining us, we're having tech issues, shockingly, and this time in Detroit. So Katie's been listening on the phone. Katie, are you there? Is your phone on mute?
I'm okay. Here, yes.
Did you get any of that chocolate on the team plane?
I have a bar in my bag, actually. But there was, just so you guys know, kind of the whole story, there was three kids outside the buses, and they had full boxes of chocolate. DeMarcus gave each one of them a $100 bill.
Oh, well. There's
it's
that.
Not like, yeah, it's not
whatever.
Like,
it was probably his per diem.
Yeah, how much for this? You know, and then it was dispersed on the team plane. And I grabbed one bar, but I wanted to get more because I'm a fat kid, really. And I couldn't find any bars by the end of like the 7 hours we were on that plane.
Yeah, see that. That makes sense.
What are we talking here? Is it just like straight up chocolate bars or variety? You get some crunch or like some toffee or almonds in there too?
Yeah, that's a good. I put her on hold because we got to take a break. Katie, was there a variety of chocolate?
There was a variety. There's like four different kinds.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. See, there you go. You can have all kinds of different stuff. Honestly, I don't know if the only one to feel this way. I kind of hope the kids just pocketed the $100. You know what, kids? Just pay off the candy. Whatever that is,
get out.
And then take the rest of the money and go to Scandia. Go to Top Golf, whatever the hell Chicago Scandia is out there. Do a little miniature golf and have some fun. Four down territory in 4 minutes. Super Bowl edition. Factor alternative fact at 7:30 and Sean Salisbury at 8:05. We got a big fat show for you planned. Stay tuned to The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK.
Atlanta Falcons Radio Network, the final call there. Was this weekend the biggest letdown that you remember in championship history?
Yes. Yes, it is. And I have no ill will towards either team. It's going to be an exciting Super Bowl. I just, again, when we talked about this early in the 6 o'clock hour, all four teams had won a combined 30 games in a row. That has to be a record. You have three surefire Hall of Fame quarterbacks and Brady, Rodgers, and Roethlisberger. And then the fourth quarterback is a freaking MVP. I thought we were going to have some good games. I didn't think we were going to have 44-21 and 36-17. Neither of these were good games, but screw it. Here we go. On to Houston.
Yeah, I mean, not just this weekend. The playoffs in general have just been garbage. And unless you have some sort of monetary action on the game, there's other than Green Bay and Dallas, there's been nothing to watch.
Nothing at all. Second down.
The gift that keeps on giving, Matt Ryan to Julio Jones. In the year of the Cubs and the Cavs, could we really see the Falcons be Super Bowl champs?
I mean, I'll have to see it to believe it. But, yeah, of course we can. I mean, you look – if any offense is equipped to keep up with Tom Brady, like, it's obviously this Falcons team. And you mentioned – three Hall of Famers this last weekend, and Matt Ryan, you know, it's going to be arguable by the time he finishes his career. If he wins in a couple weeks, that might do it. I mean, you know, he's going to have to play for a lot more years, but I'm saying, like, if he's able to lock that in, his margin for error goes up a great deal in the battle to get into the Hall of Fame.
It had been about 100 years since the Chicago Cubs had won a World Series, but they had won one. In the case of the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Atlanta Falcons, they had never won a championship. But I would submit to you, the Falcons were established in 1966, the Cavaliers in 1970. So really, the Cubs, let's just say they'd never won anything because it was much, much longer ago. I love the symmetry. I really do. I love the idea of in a calendar year, you have the Falcons, the Cavs and the Cubs.
Falcons, though.
I know you, and I get the same feeling I did last year when the Panthers were in it. Panthers. I could not imagine the Carolina Panthers being a Super Bowl champion, but I am old enough to remember that the only memories I had of the New England Patriots once upon a time were Steve Grogan and Tony Eason. And I'm thinking, I looked at the Patriots like the Bills. Like, yeah, they're there, and now they're the greatest dynasty probably in the history of sports, or at least in the conversation. I love the idea. I just don't know if it's going to happen.
That's Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. Not sure if you heard the little family dig once again there towards the beginning, but if the Patriots win it all, is the argument about the best coach, quarterback, and dynasty over as if it wasn't already?
I think it is, and I think it was. I really do. And apologies to what do you want to do, UCLA? Or I think it's the toughest to do in football, okay? And in this case, it goes beyond anything I think the Niners did, the Steelers did. Here's an interesting stat for you. I'm going to throw five teams out at you. Oakland, San Francisco, Dallas, Green Bay, and Pittsburgh. Those are the only teams in the NFL that have more playoff wins than Tom Brady and Bill Belichick together. That's it. As a franchise, there are five teams. That's it. Whether they win or not this year, they're the greatest dynasty and the greatest combo ever, but that'll certainly cement it.
Yeah, I would still try to hang on to the dynasty thing just because the one thing that the 49ers will always have is the way that Bill Walsh and Joe Montana revolutionized the passing game with the West Coast offense. But in terms of like sheer numbers, records, all of that, it's really not close. And the Tom Brady thing, the more I've thought about it, it's just over, man. He's 39 years old and he's still, I mean, you remember what Peyton was like at 39 last year? And just to give you an idea, in three of Joe Montana's final four seasons, that would be his age 34 season, his age 37 season, and his age 38 season, his quarterback rating in those years was lower than Colin Kaepernick's career quarterback rating.
That's insane.
And he never made it to age 39.
That's insane. This just in, they're very good, Nate. Mm-hmm. They're very good.
New England Patriots Radio Network there on the call. Biggest single surprise from either game this weekend?
Oh, God. The Packers didn't even stand a chance. That surprised me the most. I thought there had to be a way that Aaron Rodgers was going to score more than 21 points and keep it close. But I saw a great tweet yesterday. I just want to point out, how many flea flickers you are going to be run on playgrounds across America today?
Oh, my goodness. I agree with you there. I think that's fine. I was trying to go. I'm thinking individual player wise on either side of all four teams, good or bad. I'll tell you this much. Two receivers on both winning teams this year, two receivers had nine catches for 180 yards and two touchdowns. One of them was Julio Jones. I don't think that's much of a surprise. What I don't think anybody had in the office pool, excuse me, was this guy having nine catches and 180 yards and two touchdowns. Chris Hogan.
Yeah.
Chris Hogan?
Who the hell is that?
Who the hell is Chris Hogan? A guy who got cut off the Dolphins in Hard Knocks? Chris freaking Hogan? Nine catches, 180, two touchdowns. And that goes back to the greatness of the system. And I won't even point it at Brady. I'll point it at the system. We saw it with Jacoby Brissett coming in and going 3-1 when Brady was out. And now we see it when you've got Rob Gronkowski, the best tight end in football, is out. It doesn't matter. We'll just grab some cast off, and he's going to catch the ball 9 times for a buck 80. It's amazing how, and Kings fans know this, it's funny how players go to other teams and do really well. Well, part of that is the system and how the coaching happens. And Jesus, this guy was an NFL cast-off.
Up until yesterday, I still thought he was the dude that used to play quarterback for Stanford. Seriously. I'm like, they turned Kevin Hogan into a receiver.
Dude, 9 for $1.80. That's not a fluke. That's really good.
Yeah.
Well, now we get the matchup everybody was clamoring for.
Yeah, I know it.
Falcons-Patriots. And a reminder, we'll be in Houston a week from tomorrow with all your coverage from Radio Row. Sean Salisbury coming up at 8:05, just over a half an hour. We'll get back to the Kings. Not only how they got screwed on Saturday, but also preview their game against Detroit in an hour at 8:30. Coming up in 4 minutes, fact or alternate fact. We're having a little bit of fun with this one. Stay tuned for that next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK. Want to thank our good friends Jersey Mike's, 2 Sacramento area locations, 624 Watt Avenue in the Arden Town Center and on Fulton Marconi in the Town and Country Village. Proud sponsors of 4 Down Territory. Coming up in about 20 minutes, you can win tickets to go see Iron Maiden. Iron Maiden! What were we talking about? You said with such hits like Silent Lucidity, we've got Walk. Mouth for War.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing
Raining
else.
Blood.
Raining Blood.
The Beautiful People.
Nothing Else Matters. Mm-hmm. Mama, I'm Coming Home. Holy Diver.
Oh, I loved Holy Diver.
And Bohemian Rhapsody. That's all coming up July 5th at Oracle Arena. Coming up in an hour, you get a chance to win tickets to the PBR Bull Riders happening this weekend. Golden One Center. One lucky winner gets to sit with me for a round of action in the shark cage. What does that mean? That means you're basically in a little jail down on the dirt. And, yeah, it's pretty intense.
I think you would make a great rodeo clown.
I think you
would. And I don't even mean that as an insult. Like, I think you'd probably be really great at that.
Well, I look like a clown. I mean, there's one thing, but dear Lord Almighty, that would be very, very scary. You know, we were talking earlier about the curse of the Sacramento Kings before we get to fact or alternative fact here. Well, I want to thank very much not the fake John, whatever. His name's John, loyal listener on Twitter. He's a history teacher. And he sent me a screenshot of his book. It's the third printing, by the way, not the first or second, so you know it's good. Excursions into History and the Natural World, starring the great city of Sacramento. Now, this isn't just any book. It won the California Historical Society something-something award, wow. Right? It's a big deal. I'm going to read you a passage in this book. 2 dozen bones. Some from giant ground sloths measuring up to 12 feet tall, and bones of horses, camels, and other beasts.
The Carmichael Graveyard.
Were discovered in 1989 during excavations for Arco Arena in the Natomas area. These animals lived here 10 to 30,000 years ago, and their relics will be exhibited in an interpretive display at
Is that
Arco.
Like interpretive dance?
I don't know, but... And I don't know if that's considered, you know, I've always thought it was an Indian burial ground.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Native Americans actually, like buried those bones or if they just happened to be
giant
fossils.
12-foot sloths.
But maybe that had something to do with it. And that makes me think. I never actually have seen this before. So thank you, John, the history teacher. That makes me kind of think that we should have some sort of like a sloth mascot or doll or statue. We need to do something. We need to have some sort of exorcism, okay?
How about a giant ape on a ladder?
Something. Something.
That was you, Dave. You're the...
I am.
Yeah,
big, goofy ape that I am.
I'm extraordinarily creeped out at the idea of a 12-foot sloth. That just weirds me out.
If you were paying attention to anything over the weekend, and as we always say, we are your bastion for sports talk when you want to get away from the real world. And there was a lot of real world going on, and I'm not talking about the MTV show over the weekend, but one thing that probably caught your eye was there's a bit of a discrepancy between what the entire world of the media said were the attendance numbers at the inauguration on Friday and what the new administration said. So on Saturday, I believe it was, new press secretary Sean Spicer went on and said, hey, this is the biggest inauguration ever. It was huge. It was huge. It was big. It was the most watched ever. And those pictures were doctored. And it's the first time they've ever used ground coverings. Mm-hmm. The media all basically, I mean, this is from everywhere pretty much. It's like, actually, no, it wasn't. And ground coverings were used, you know, a few years ago. And here's pictures of that. And here's pictures of your own Department of Parks and Recreation, or whatever the hell, National Parks, is tweeting out these pictures. And they were, of course, told to promptly stop tweeting by the government. And then to follow it up, presidential advisor Kellyanne Conway goes on, what was it, Meet the Press or some garbage on Sunday, and says he wasn't lying. He was presenting alternate facts, which sounds alternative facts. So, and listen, man, I know I say we're not getting political. We just got political there. But regardless of affiliation, can we all agree? There's bigger priorities. I think we can all agree. I don't care how many people were at the stupid-ass inauguration. I don't care. I watched the whole thing. A peaceful transfer of power, a celebration of it, whatever you want to call it. I watched it. I don't care. You know what I care about? I don't know. Issues.
Yeah.
Things. Hunger, strife, starvation, war, famine.
And you know, like, so what was kind of funny to me is that a lot of people are going to the media outlets and saying exactly, I don't care. I don't care about the numbers. I don't care. It's like, you know what? A lot of us probably don't care either. But you know what? We know that the president does.
Just stop caring. I don't care if it was your mom and your sister and your dog. I don't care.
Anyway, so, alternative facts.
Alternative facts. So, it, you know, there's a big deal on radio, okay, where you do the Monday edition of, you know, it's fact or fiction, truth or trash. Mm-hmm. I've participated in many. They're fine segments. They're great vehicles to have discussions. So what we're going to do in this segment is we're gonna debut fact or alternative fact. Thank you. Matt, do you have this list in front of you? You do not? Why don't you come in here? Why don't you come here and grab this list? Just leave your desk, because I just don't want to. I don't want to be the one reading it. Katie is unavailable in Detroit due to connection issues. So we have this list.
I love our soundtrack.
Of questions. I do too. And you know, when one of the starters is out, you go to the bullpen. So we're gonna bring up young Matthew George. He of two first names. Never trust those people, by the way. And yeah, I said those people.
Those people.
And he's going, what are you doing with the soundtrack? I love that. We got, is that going away? Facts.
All right, come on. Let's do this.
Or alternative facts. Fact number one, Matt George.
All right. Fact number one, the flu plus a fire alarm being pulled contributed to the Steelers losing.
I don't know. I guess fact. That's like, but it's like saying, did my toe getting cut off contribute to me dying in addition to the massive shotgun wound in my chest? Like, yeah, I guess it sped up the loss of blood.
Yeah.
But it's not the reason why they lost. Interesting. A guy from Boston was arrested for pulling a fire alarm. No word as to whether or not his name rhymes with smell a chick, but he was arrested.
And Free Sully.
Pulled the fire alarm at. Yeah, come on, Murph. What'd you do that for? At the Pittsburgh Steelers Hotel at 3 in the morning. And, yeah, half the team had the flu all week long. But, no, Nate, I think what did contribute was Le'Veon Bell's groin.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. This is the definition of an alternative fact because, in fact, it's a better alternative fact than anything we heard over the weekend because there's shades of truth to this. And, yeah, there was the flu. Yeah, the fire alarm was pulled. But did it contribute to their loss? No, if anything, it kept them from covering, but they weren't going to win this game.
I thought we were going to have to wait longer in the segment for this, but while I was writing up these questions, I was hoping that we'd get at least one text like this. And honestly, it only took about 1.5 minutes. And shockingly, it's from the 209, and I love the 209, but it always seems like we get the best text from them. Okay, guys, that's enough. We know you Democrats. You can go ahead and stop now and get back to sports.
Well, all I got to say is this. That's not entirely accurate
totally
there, guy.
Accurate.
Alternative facts. What was that? Thank you, Kellyanne Conway. Number two, Matt George.
The Falcons' offense just has too many weapons for the Patriots to deal with.
Mm. Also, an alternative fact. It's just not true. Listen, they got a lot of weapons, but here's the thing, Dave. The Patriots' defense, believe it or not, is the number one scoring defense in the NFL. And I don't care how many points that the Falcons have scored all year long. The Patriots have got it figured out. They're starting to round into form at just the right time. It's all Patriots, man.
Well, you know, if Katie were alive and here right now, she probably would say something like, "We'll find out in a week," and that's not fair. I'm slapping her when she's not here. I'm going to say alternative fact.
Yeah.
I think everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth, but damn, it's tempting when you've got Tevin Coleman and Devontae Freeman as your dual beasts of burden behind the line. When you've got Julio Jones, who, when he's on, you could call him the best receiver in the NFL. He's certainly in the conversation. And the MVP, Matt Ryan. That's a lot of juice. And that defense has stepped up, too, for the Atlanta Falcons. But in the end, nah, I do not see that as a fact at all. I think the Patriots will be just fine. Alternative facts. Number three.
The Patriots' experience is overwhelmingly better than the Falcons, and that will matter in 2 weeks.
By the way, if you have a fact or alternative fact question, you can text it in at 44-1140. I'm going to say that's a fact. I do think being there and experience and understanding what those lights are. Now a guy like Chris Hogan, maybe he hasn't been there. Maybe there are other guys on the team that haven't had that experience. But it just seems like the Patriots and their mentality is simply, and it is, do your job. And they all get that. This is an all-new experience for pretty much all those Atlanta Falcons, and I do think the bright lights matter, Nate.
Yep, 100% fact on that one, because as we've learned, the Falcons are going up against something they've never seen before, because the only thing the Falcons know about cheating to get an edge is pumping in crowd noise. The Patriots are on a completely different level with that. They can't compete with videotaping, you know, practices and deflating footballs and all that type of stuff. The Falcons are in over their heads, man.
They are much better cheaters than
fact.
The Falcons. Great point right there. All right. Alternative facts. I just said that. Number four.
Green Bay getting destroyed tells you the Dallas Cowboys were severely overrated.
Go ahead, Nate. That's you.
Okay. Alternative fact. I think the Falcons have been severely underrated, and I'm putting myself like directly underneath the guillotine on that one because I've been standing in their way this whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that the Cowboys pretty much are what they were. They're a team that wasn't as good as Green Bay, but the Falcons are head and shoulders above everyone else.
I'm going to say fact that the Cowboys were overrated, but here's why. I think they're a great team, but let's go back to the last question we have. I do think the bright lights of the playoffs and then further down the bright lights of the Super Bowl. We were talking about Falcons versus Patriots when it comes to big game experience, but I think that happened with the Cowboys too, especially when the leaders of your team are two rookies. Then you get into the playoffs. I do think that factors in. I do think sphincters tighten up a little bit. I don't know if the Packers and Cowboys played a 7-game series. I don't know that the Cowboys wouldn't win that thing 4-2, 4-3 even. I do think something happens when you put young people with inexperience in a playoff situation in those lights. I think that's what happened with the Cowboys. So were they overrated? Yeah, but they were overrated for the playoffs. They're a damn good team. Number six.
It's number five, though.
Sorry.
A healthy Oakland Raiders team would have given the Patriots a better game. Fact. Move on.
No, I'm going to say that's an alternative fact. And again, we're tying these questions all together, but now let's go back to that. You have a Raiders team, if healthy, that is a very good team. But I think the same thing would have happened to the Raiders. I really do. Mm-hmm. I think the Raiders are a year away. I think the Raiders did a lot to change that culture. This was their culture change year. This was the year that you look at the Raiders and say, okay, going into next season, they're a Super Bowl contender. They're not a playoff contender. They're a Super Bowl contender. But in this situation, I think, again, you get the bright lights in the big city going. You're walking into Foxborough. I think it would have been, had the Raiders made it that far, had Derek Carr not snapped his leg, I think that would have been the sad, sad ending to the Raiders situation. I think for Raider fans, at least they can sit here and think of what could have been. He snapped his leg rather than thinking, wow, we just lost 40-3 in Foxborough.
Yeah, that's an alternate fact, unfortunately, because as you said, the very first thing that went wrong for the Steelers was losing Le'Veon Bell. And you know what? The Raiders can't run the ball either.
That's very true.
That's pretty much all I got.
Alternative fact.
The Falcons winning sets the Niners back even further, having to wait even longer.
Oh, alternate fact, because the 49ers could not possibly be set back any further. At all, even. Unless, of course, the Colts pull an about face and can Chuck Pagano, and then the Niners are really screwed because Kyle Shanahan's going to go there in a heartbeat.
I'm going to say fact asterisk because, yeah, I think it's much like did the flu contribute to the Steelers losing? Kind of. Does this set the Niners back a little? Yes, it does. Now, they can interview Kyle Shanahan again this week, but they still have to wait on, you know, the GM situation and having him in the actual room, and you're going into the draft. The NFL is a year-round situation, man.
And the league's still moving. The Niners aren't.
Right, exactly. They are stuck in mud. Everybody else has their situation weighed out, and the 49ers need every break they can get. This was not a break, Atlanta being in the Super Bowl. Thank you. Number seven.
The early line is Patriots by 3. Is this line too low?
Fact. Yes, I do believe it's too low. I think it's going to get bet up to 5.5. That's what I'm going to guess by the time we roll in. Sorry. I know people are going to get a little bit scared of that Atlanta Falcon offense, but Jesus. The Patriots just look ridiculous and like they're on another level, and they dismantled the Pittsburgh Steelers, granted without Le'Veon Bell. I think this line gets bet up around 5.5, 6, somewhere in there by the time it's all said and done.
I think you're absolutely right. This is a real 100% fact. 3 points, to me, is an easy cover for New England. This is going to go up as the weeks go on.
Alternative facts. That's what I said. Number 8.
The over-under is currently at 59. Remember, the line for the Pack versus Falcons was 61. So, Nate, 59 is too high.
Oh, alternate fact. Alternative fact, that's not true. I think that's a great line.
You do?
Honestly, I think that's a great line. Because if this was not an indoor game, I could see it going under. But I wouldn't even know what to do on this one.
It troubles me, and I'm going to say fact. I think the over-under is too high. Just between the Patriots and the if you had it at 61 for the Packers and Falcons also in a dome, with two absolute gunslingers. Not that Tom Brady's not a gunslinger, but what you saw there is you saw the Falcons roll out. Now, they covered that. They covered that spread. I just feel like in the Super Bowl, we talked about sphincters tightening and all that stuff. God, I have a hard time believing that it's going to end up being that high, especially when you got a guy like Dan Quinn for the Falcons and you have Bill Belichick and his team and Matt Patricia.
You're right.
I think that's too high. I would place the over-under, honestly, somewhere around like 53.5, 54.5. And again, I think that's going to come down. I think the line is going to go up in favor of the Patriots. I think the over-under is going to come down between now and the next 2 weeks.
Well, that shall remain to be seen. Alternative facts. Okay.
Watching Roger Goodell hand the trophy to Tom Brady makes you root for the Patriots.
Fact. A little bit. I want to see. It's not It's not out of the love for the Patriots or Tom Brady. It's out of hatred for Roger Goodell. I want to see that moment. Roger, now, this is a close second, honestly. I would have no problems. In fact, I'm kind of contradicting myself here, shockingly. I would love to see Roger Goodell hand the trophy to Arthur Blank, because I think Arthur Blank is one of the nicest, sweetest, coolest owners in all of sports. He's very underrated. This is a good, good man. But damn it, it's like when David Stern handed the trophy to Mark Cuban, but I didn't really like Mark Cuban. I want to see Tom Brady take that trophy, and I just want to see that handshake and that fake-ass smile between the two of them. And that's just the ultimate revenge factor.
You're counting that as rooting for the Patriots, though? I mean, hell, I'm rooting for the asteroid. That's an alternate fact right there. There's absolutely nothing that could make me root for the Patriots. And I say that as someone that did a full 180 on Alex Rodriguez when he got into a peeing contest with the Yankees. Alex Rodriguez is probably the most hateable person in professional sports for a while, like non-assault division,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
And all it took is for him to get into a war over money, with the Yankees. And it's like, you know what? Maybe A-Rod's not that bad of a guy. I don't see that ever happening for the Patriots.
But you're also forgetting, not only do you get Roger Goodell handing the trophy to Tom Brady, but you also get Roger Goodell in all his glory handing the trophy off to this guy. Not get hookers! Oh.
When?
For the Gipper. Okay.
Win one.
Roger Kraft. Alternative facts, final question, go.
Fact or alternative fact, he was drunk during that little speech.
I don't know. My wife, who doesn't know, so forgive her, but my wife, honestly, she asked me, she turned to me and she goes, oh, my God, did he have a stroke? Like, she thought he actually had problems, and I had to look it up because I thought, oh, my God, I don't want to say anything if he did. I don't know what that was, but it was fun to watch.
The Falcons are just this year's offensive version of the Carolina Panthers, another team that makes it but doesn't really belong.
That's an alternative fact for a couple of reasons. I wouldn't say that the Panthers didn't belong last year. They had the formula of a successful playoff team. They had physical defense. They had good secondary, great linebackers. They had a stud player at every level of the defense, and they ran the ball effectively. They just got wasted by one of the greatest defenses of all time and a Hall of Fame quarterback. I don't think the Falcons don't necessarily belong either, but you know, we'll find out in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm going to say fact in the sense that I do feel like they're the offensive version of the Panthers this year. It's just hard for me to say
like
the
there
words.
There just wasn't anyone better.
Atlanta Falcons, Super Bowl champions.
Which is a weird way to put it.
It's a little weird, but I'm kind of rooting for them, too. I love the underdog type of thing, and I always like it when teams that haven't won one win it all, especially in a year where you have the Cavs and the Cubs winning their respective championships like we talked about earlier. When we take a break, you're going to have an opportunity to win tickets to Iron Maiden. Matt, am I doing an 11th caller here, or is that a texting? 11th caller, 339-1140 right now, and you'll get Iron Maiden tickets July 5th, Oracle Arena. 8:30, we'll get back to talking about the Kings getting screwed, and will they get screwed again tonight in Detroit? But in 5 minutes, Sean Salisbury breaks down all the NFL for us that happened over the weekend. It's The Drive. We roll through to 9 o'clock right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.